Hello, Aunt President. Now, Chair, Sisu Jeva Yinji Chilia, and Chick, Chair contribute to Shi Chaja Telia Kushep Chair, and Lucina the Devatan Kushep Chair or his, Mason Chair again, and Chickia, or Chair, Chick, but Gajo Major Shan of Kushep Meva that in each year Maria or Lucina to see, then issue her here. Chizadiniza, 아니 지시 쟁여와라서 뭐 그런 주기 가르치는 거라지는 아니면 나다 주기 안 취해야 아니 취하고 주기 두시 샵에 돈이 안 두시면 난 거리에서 지금 배단 제네가 생기 뛰고 쉬러 와 나한테
Good evening. Last week in the presentation on refuge, we came to look at the precepts or the trainings of refuge. And so we came up to those which are to be engaged in relation to the individual Dharma jewels. And we concluded by looking at that of how to relate to the physical representation of the Dharma jewels, the Dharma texts. And there we saw that they should be treated with reverence through understanding the great benefit that they bring to beings. And the illustrations were given, such as that of Geshe Chenhua, and who showed through his physical behavior, he expressed his deep heartfelt respect for the Dharma through understanding its value. So these, this and other examples were given as examples for us to emulate. In the trainings of refuge, or the precepts of refuge, we've looked at those which are to be stopped, so the proscriptive precepts, and now we come to the final of the three, for the prescriptive precepts, what is to be accomplished, and that is in relation to the Sangha, the Sangha jewel. So turning to the text, so in the handout, we're in the middle of page 130, and in the published text, the last paragraph on page 110. You should not abuse or despise the Sangha, or even those who merely bear the signs of ordination, nor should you look at them as some kind of opponents, having made arbitrary divisions in terms of your group and my group. Instead, treat them with respect as if they were the Sangha jewel.
Tersum Gumsuce, and then Lumiace Dusin, Lumiace Yukonjula, Pabi go lam jure jetige, Gasaje, and Dusin attending some diada, and the Niki Koroji do that number Kundu, Che, and Yamlin Chekalia, and Ziki, until Chalk and Yi Tonea, and Robocheta, and Yamlin Chalia, Tinger, Dustigo, Bemas, Yapore, Sambu, some da, and Dida, Eina.
The first word in the Tibetan is for us a little further on in the sentence of Sangha with a uppercase S. So this refers to the Sangha jewel. So us as Buddhists who have gone to the Sangha jewel for protecting refuge, we have done so through knowing their remarkable qualities. So we've come to really admire and respect the Sangha for what they have achieved. So this So here we are talking about Arya beings, the Arya Sangha, who comprise the Sangha jewel. And they have been, they've attained this status of being Arya beings through having cultivated the wisdom arising from hearing, the wisdom arising from reflection, and the wisdom arising from meditation. And in this way, they've attained the various paths of the Buddha Dharma. And with the attainments of the paths of the Buddha Dharma, they've also achieved the various accompanying incredible qualities. So in this way, one recognizes how remarkable the beings, what remarkable beings they are. And the way to relate to them through our training in refuge is to give rise to a genuine aspiration to emulate them, to have them as our role models, to follow in their footsteps, follow their example. And therefore, recognizing their great qualities, it would be so inappropriate to, and now the sentence continues, you should not abuse or despise the Sangha. So reading the whole sentence, you should not abuse or despise the Sangha, so that's been covered, or even those who merely bear the signs of ordination. So this then refers to those who are ordained but are not included amongst the Sangha jewel, so the ordinary Sangha. So they have willingly received the vows of the ordained due to having deep, heartfelt, trusting faith in the three jewels. And therefore, because of that quality, as well as the quality of the vows on the continuum, the only suitable way to relate to them is one of respect, not to abuse or despise them. All ordinary beings have both good qualities and flaws or faults. And this is the case whether these ordinary beings are ordained or not ordained. All ordinary beings have good qualities and faults. And that isn't just talking about those that we perceive, but it also refers to ourselves as the perceiver. We too have good qualities, but we also have faults. This needs to be clearly recognized. And then through recognizing this, we can also understand by focusing on someone's faults, we will come to see them in an unbalanced way. And if we do so in any context, whether in the context of this presentation or in general, if we focus on someone's faults so that every time we think of them, their faults arise dominant in our mind, this just harms us. Whereas on the other hand, if we focus on the good qualities that others do have, for example, the ordinary Sangha, by focusing on the good qualities they have, one accumulates a virtue. So by training one's mind in this way, particularly in relation to the topic here of the ordinary Sangha, those who bear the signs of ordination, but also more generally, whomever we encounter, if we train our mind so as not to dwell on their faults, but to rather be more aware of their good qualities, our mind will be more at peace. We will accumulate virtue and will avoid non-virtue. And this process of accumulating virtue and avoiding non-virtue is indispensable in order to spiritually develop. The accumulation of virtue, the avoidance of non-virtues, is essential to spiritually develop. Therefore, this refuge precept, in this training of what is to be accomplished, this skillfully serves to ensure that we accumulate virtue and avoid the accumulation of non-virtue, obstacles to our spiritual development.
The
next sentence from Lama Tsongkhapa is also explicitly about this refuge precept and training our minds in how to relate to the Sangha. But it, of course, should be applied broadly throughout society. Nor should you look at them as some kind of opponents having made arbitrary divisions in terms of your group and my group. And this is something that we as ordinary people are very prone to do. We divide beings into various groups. So in this context, we divide beings into practitioners, into groups of our group and their group, and focus on the good qualities, the perceived good qualities of our group and the perceived faults of the other group. And from this, one will make comments such as, we keep our vows well, or we have vows and they don't. We are ordained and they are not. We engage in these various practices and they do not. We study and they do not. So one divides beings into groups in various ways. And this does not serve our goal of spiritual development. Certainly, all it does is to enhance one's afflictions.
On the other quarter, the enemy, Rabdu Chuare, and the Sangi, Chesanye, Sangelia, Deba Yuba, Sangi, Chesudan, Rabdu, Domason, and the Jilogia, Yahore, Chitunaman, and the Hard Domosai, Beahores, and the Negimi, Sangi, Chesu, Sangelia, Deba Che, and the Rabdu Chuan, and Chikimi, Logion, Chevet, Beahores, Eddie, Hansulia, the Nigi, Yunden, Chonet, Banche, Delia, Beahores, Sibi, the Gushef, Gushef Tieta, the Chukonja, Nashinda, Chukonja Jim.
Now,
ね、で、ちょっとまあ、その、何や、めか、そすぎ、かんじやんか、ロシア人、やごり、せんべい、どしん、ごしゃぴしょう、へせ、まとえてすりゃ、あんかたんやと、きんじゅうせやだ、まはわ、うんがじゅうまる、こんじゅうしょうねすね、まはわちちぎょうま、ディジェバイな、ね、きんじゅうせやだ、げりゃ、せやりゃ、きんじゅうせばいな、ティボチもさいごわれす、なりじばりげ、すすまんじゅう、んけばちもまさにげ、じゅうちゃ、ちぎょうまれす、ぐしゃぴし、てばち、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ちぃ、ち
The training then is again not to focus on perceived faults, but rather to focus on perceived good qualities. And furthermore, rejoice in the good qualities of others. So in the case of ordained, then, ordained or non-ordained, which here is specific to the Sangha Jewel, but to the precepts relating to the Sangha Jewel, but we should take it more broadly too. So we should rejoice in the vows that others have. We should rejoice in their Dharma studies, whether their studies are deep and in-depth or more superficial or more introductory. And likewise, whatever form of practice they do, rejoice in that. Here, and this then is emphasized in the final sentence, where Lama Tsongkhapa says, instead, treat them with respect as if they were the Sangha Jewel. Here we're being encouraged to train our mind in focusing on the good qualities of others. This then serves to bring us together, to ensure there are not artificial divisions between people and between groups. On the other hand, if we construct divisions and we focus on perceived faults in others, then this criticism, this looking down upon, serves no good purpose. And in fact, it just leads to accumulation of a non-virtue and the further suffering, even potentially rebirth in the lower realms. Rather, recognize all beings want to be happy, and they are trying in accordance with their own karmic imprints. Rather, focus on the good that beings are achieving, praise them, and don't let your mind dwell on any perceived faults.
And then the other one is the Tayadi, Lena Wurish. And in the Tayadi, in the Pesadi, in the Yavaina, in the Tayadi, Duskali Havore, and the Gero Chunju told me that Lamzang and the other to do said, Pating of the Hans and the Injisha Yungur, but then the Chison and then to be Raju in the area, Nikimbenalo in the area, Putusin and the Jew, in the Tayadi, Dusk Tongawana, and the Gin had the Chunjurish in there, Lamza, and the
Kyun
It's all too easy to focus on the faults of others, and it can be quite difficult to see the good qualities in some. So here I encourage you to really take this precept, this training to heart, and certainly apply it in the way that's taught here in this context, but also take it far more broadly and relate it to everyone, whether ordained or non-ordained, whether Buddhist, non-Buddhist, related to everyone. And at all times, be careful with your mind. Utilize the two close companions of the meditator, mindfulness and vigilance. At all times, watch your mind. And when you see it going in a negative direction towards someone, immediately stop yourself. Remind yourself, all beings want to be happy. May all beings be happy. This particular person I'm thinking about through the lens of their faults, perhaps they have these faults, but they also have many good qualities. And actively remind yourself of their good qualities and rejoice in their good qualities and the causes that they accumulated to have those good qualities. And have the good qualities of others dominant in your mind, whomever you interact with. In this way, you'll be able to relate to others with genuine respect, tenderness, and care. To bring about this change, as well as all other developments of the mind, rely on mindfulness and vigilance. Guard mindfulness and vigilance. Ensure they are always present. And in this particular context, ensure one's mind does not dwell on the faults of others, but rather their good qualities.
Na de ne hasum gulwa de des yin din de ba na na ne ba yi pa ru da ge yun da ta mi cha da ni che bur pa shan da cho che de nyam du ni sim ji mi cha o s ne ya ji ba me kun ye za wa de ge lo me le nye bur yong mi cha ga wa ji ge tar ba tu mi ju de ni tem ba de la ko re de la ko re mi che fun so o s.
Now, Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from the exhortation to the extraordinary attitude. Those who dwelling in forests desire excellent qualities should not look for faults in other people. They should not produce the attitude, I am especially noble, I am the best. This haughtiness is the root of all carelessness. Don't let contempt for lesser monks arise, or else you won't reach liberation for an eon. This is a training stage. This is a training stage in this teaching.
Ah, the Indian Deva, Nana Neva Yi, Silly, Nana, the Indian Goma Tavardu, you can in their Goma, Umbeti Jagget and Alia, Nana Jigi, Topacula Jagget and Alia, Inigi, the Chi, Rimi, MB, Nana, that's what I need in the Dinia Kom, Chapnam, Jivi, Jerry, Kavas or Dinigi.
So in the first two lines, those who are dwelling in forests, so this refers to people living in either in monasteries and nunneries or in remote areas such as forests. What it refers to is those who are serious about their practice. In other words, they are striving to develop good qualities in themselves. Hence the line ends with desire excellent qualities. So this isn't expressing a mere aspiration for excellent qualities, but they are striving to develop them. The warning is down the second line, should not look for faults in other people. So this is guarding against the mind of criticism of actively looking for faults, or if they are looking for them, and or if they arise in the mind, dwelling on them. This should be avoided.
Go to
One can imagine the kind of criticisms someone who's serious about their practice may make of others around them. They may well say, oh, they're not striving for calm abiding. They're not abiding in retreats like I am. They haven't studied well like I have. They're not engaging in serious meditation like I am. So in this way, criticizing, pointing out faults in others, either in comparison to oneself or just for whatever other reason, criticizing others, looking down on others, this is to be avoided. Third line. For us as a fourth line, I'm especially noble, I am the best. So this is just an illustration of the kind of thinking that one perhaps won't have explicitly, but it would be underlined there, because when we criticize others, it tends to come with an attitude of regarding oneself as superior in the context of what they are being criticized, what we are criticizing them for. So if one is criticizing someone else for not having studied well, this is because one feels you have studied better. Or criticizes someone for not meditating well, it's because you feel you're meditating better. So this is an expression of haughtiness to come in a couple of lines. Haughtiness is one of the secondary afflictions. So here, what this practitioner is doing is from this their own afflicted mind, they are criticizing others. This is deeply, deeply hypocritical. The fourth line, for us, the third line, they should not produce this attitude, or that attitude. So here, the encouragement is to rely on mindfulness and vigilance. To using vigilance, to always be aware of the mind. And when we see an affliction arising, in this context, arising as criticism of others, of perceived, of dwelling on faults of others, immediately bring re-energize your mindfulness, remind yourself of the faults of this affliction of haughtiness, and return to your object of meditation. This is important to do.
Shengi yunde de, oh, kol mi chi minduwa zi, kol mindu sambi, kol ujo mindu, kwe shing mindu, kol ya nga ya de sambi na, nga di nga ya si wala, nga ya si wala. Edi, inegi samlo di ge, shengi yunde, kol yunde de, kol ya yunde de, nga ya gare sambi, samda de kol tongshu ya de, di gorwa, chesa di, nga ya de. Da rangi yunde de, oh, nga yunde ya, kol ya nga ya gare sambi,
This is so easy to do. It's something we tend to be deeply habituated to. So this is a situation one needs to stand up and challenge. So it's all too easy to look at faults in others and criticize them for that fault. So this then is an expression of the mind of pride, where you're looking down at someone, criticizing them. Another way this is often expressed is you'll perceive a fault in someone and criticize them, but and also think to yourself, I wouldn't do that, or I do that, I would have done it so much better. This is then haughtiness. The difference being with haughtiness, with this affliction, one is perceiving one's own good quality as superior to what one is perceiving in someone else, or one is perceiving one's own good quality as superior to what you're perceiving in someone else. So you're still looking down on them, but it's in, from this lofty height of I am better. Whereas pride doesn't necessarily have this, and I am better. But pride certainly is expressed as looking down on others by focusing on their faults.
And then there are Bobas,
These two, pride and haughtiness, are afflicted, and we should be on guard against them. They serve to separate us from others, as well as accumulating virtue, non-virtue. But there's another mind that one can confuse this with, and this is a worthwhile mind to have, and that is a mind of self-confidence. There's nothing wrong in recognizing one's own good qualities, but there is no need to see oneself as therefore superior to others. One may recognize, yes, in this field, I have knowledge and education that someone lacks, or I have skills that someone lacks. You can make this difference, which may well be valid between yourself and others. And as long as this is free from looking down on others, criticizing others, then this is just the mind of self-confidence. It's in accordance with reality, and it is good to have. So this should not be confused with minds such as pride and haughtiness. Self-confidence is both in accordance with reality, that one actually does have this quality, and it is free of looking down on others, criticizing others.
Yeah, 아니
Quote continues, this haughtiness is the root of all carelessness. So this translation, carelessness, here is non-conscientiousness. Non-conscientiousness is a mind that is the opposite of being conscientious. So it's when So for example, when minds such as pride or, not for example, in this context, when minds such as haughtiness or pride arise, these lead to one not being conscientious. In that, haughtiness and pride are afflictions. Afflictions, if one is conscientious, is on guard against the afflictions, recognizing they are never appropriate. Haughtiness, its companion pride, are never appropriate. If one is conscientious, one will know that. One will therefore rely on mindfulness and vigilance to ensure that these afflictions do not arise. So when afflictions such as haughtiness or pride arise and dominate, and then one follows through from this arisal of afflictions and criticizing others, dwelling on their faults in your mind, one's mind now is afflicted. It's non-virtuous. This, as a practitioner of the Dharma, is clearly inappropriate. And from being lacking conscientiousness, one may well engage in further non-virtue. So we need to be on guard for the rise of afflictions such as haughtiness. It sees afflictions as suitable, as justified in this context. This lack of conscientiousness leads to the justification of, so it's an actual mind called non-conscientiousness. It's not merely a lacking. So non-conscientiousness leads to a justification of the afflictions, not necessarily in general, but in this instance. So, with non-conscientiousness present, one believes that this affliction, perhaps haughtiness, perhaps another, is justified in this circumstance. And this, then, is likely to lead to harmful behavior or harmful speech. And in this way, one's non-virtue is amplified, and one also directly brings harm to others.
Quando disse a madre,
Verse continues, don't let contempt for lesser monks arise. So this follows on from what's been said above, that due to the arisal of afflictions such as haughtiness, pride, etc., one engages in criticizing one's fellow practitioners. One engages in criticizing those who, just like you, wish for happiness. So this is clearly non-virtuous, and due to this non-virtue that one is accumulating, the next line, or else you won't reach liberation for an eon. Through this non-virtue, one's spiritual development is greatly impeded. And therefore, one needs to make even longer effort for an even longer period to try and accumulate the merit because of this non-virtue that one is accumulating. So for example, if you're going on a journey, perhaps driving down to Melbourne, normally it takes a couple of hours. But if you have a puncture along the way and you don't have a spare tire and you have to call roadside assistance, you'll be waiting a while. Instead of this 2-hour journey taking that long, it may end up taking 4 hours. So this is similar to the criticizing others, in particular in this context, those who too are making efforts in accordance with their capacity, to criticizing them serves no good purpose, but in fact, hinders one's own spiritual attainment. The training as you've heard, comes down to this. When we perceive faults in others, don't dwell on them. Rather, seek out their good qualities and train your mind so that when you see someone or they come to mind, that they come to mind with their good qualities rather than perceiving them through the lens of their faults. So this is the training. When one hears this, a doubt that may well come. But does this mean that their faults are okay? Are we, in a sense, approving of their faults? So this, of course, is not the case. Rather, the training is that we should not criticize others. We may well perceive faults, and these faults they may well have. But them merely having faults is no reason, no justification for us to wag a finger, to complain about them to others or even to ourselves. Ordinary beings have faults. To that point or that far, one accepts. Those doesn't make those faults acceptable or laudable, but one should not criticize others. Rather, one should use your wisdom and understand that they want to be happy, but due to these faults, their development of happiness is impeded. And generate a mind of compassion, yearning, may they work through these faults. May they become free of these faults. A skillful practitioner, when seeing faults in others, will not only not criticize them, but genuine compassion for the suffering being will arise, recognizing that this person only wants to be happy. And moreover, a skillful practitioner, in response to this arrival of genuine compassion, will reach out a hand of help, striving to try to help in accordance with their own ability and the relationship they have with the other person. This is an appropriate response. Nowhere in there is there criticism, is there looking down on. Rather, there's a feeling of closeness, of tenderness, and with such a relationship, one extends a helping hand. So this is how a skillful practitioner relates to the faults in others. They certainly do not look down from lofty heights as some exalted practitioner. This is just deeply hypocritical. So this is the training. We must guard our mind, ensure that we are, in this regard, genuine practitioners. The quotation concludes with, this is a training stage in this teaching. What this refers to is we are now progressing through this topic on refuge, which started with the first outline of the causes for going for refuge, which came about through having reflected on the sufferings of the lower realms and a fear having arisen, recognizing I have accumulated the causes that can potentially lead to such a rebirth for me again. And then that's the first cause. The second cause is recognizing that the three jewels have the capacity to guide me to transform my mind sufficiently to gain protection from falling to the lower realms. So this is the first training within this topic, the causes of refuge. Thereafter, we came to reflect on the objects of refuge, so the three jewels themselves. Thereafter, we looked at the way for going for refuge, which included looking at the qualities of the various jewels. And now we come to the precepts or trainings of refuge. So this is an indispensable training, and we need to train in this stage, in this teaching. We should not miss this stage of training. In other words, the trainings of refuge. We should not miss these. If we rather run after what we are drawn to, perhaps the attainments of the mind and bodhicitta we find compelling, or the realization of emptiness we find compelling, and we rush off to that, the problem we'll have is the foundation is not developed. Therefore, those later stages will not come about. So we have to train in this stage, in this teaching. This teaching refers to the entire graduated path. So training well here in refuge will ensure that when we hear the next stage of training, that of the suffering of the higher realms, then our cause of refuge will grow in strength. And this will give us the capacity required to generate definite and transformative definite emergence, which it itself is an indispensable prerequisite for actual bodhicitta. So therefore, one has to train in the correct sequence of trainings. Otherwise, one will just be gathering imprints, but not radically transforming one's mind. Then Lama Tsongkhapa continues by giving examples of some remarkable practitioners, Geshe Drom Tongpa and El Jorpa Chinpo. Instead of stepping over a piece of yellow material on the ground, would shake it and carry it to a clean place. You should train in accordance with their practices, for others will respect you as much as you respect the three jewels.
Nen yishu tenpa ta, nen jebu shima korang tuki kari sangar sinne, te lamka wa tu dush chodi kemda, dini ki rie sebo chungchung roi, ta mabo ta sebo chungchung diwa chil, lamka diwa sur diwa yuwa na, ten ngal tuki dini gomba jeb shasha yu, diwa ngala gomba jeb shi chosha yuwa, on kondru ki dini maro wa chie karsa gomba jeb se yuwa de yuwa ta, gomba ma jeb chi tu ya rup je, an pal sa tangma, sangma chil ya dush chini shagwa res yuwa.
These great practitioners, when they saw a piece of fabric with the colors of the ordained, so red or yellow, they would not just ignore it or look the other way as if they had not seen it, but rather, as it says, they pick it up, dust it off, and put it in a clean place.
And in Guardian Shagoris,
Sanye
이제 산지에 대바지 산지에 제수 산지에 제수 장지 코로나주기 둘로 되니기 둘로 말세 취해지네 냠냠난 거래 이내 산지 기내스 뱀마시기 제게 뭐야 제게 야구리 선 이내기 대바지 이제 아니 기둥이 기둥 제수 장 받은 기둥 대바지 이제 이내기 아 이내기 기둥이 취해게 되네 레세버지 대지 세버지네 이내기 남사 이내기 제수 담배 계정기 연전 전반 계정기 계정 지수 전반 계정기에는 문제는이 염년제발라 지수 이상의 토네 이니게 리에티 바로 루친 바 도신의 샤고 레시드 샤비 김제디 디니
What is understood from this is what they were showing is nothing like they're not showing respect for cloth or the respect for the dye of the cloth but rather what it represents, which is the Sangha jewel. So for great practitioners, they have a deep appreciation for the three jewels. So when they see a sign of, in this instance, the Sangha jewel, what will arise within them is a deep respect for those who have spent lifetimes striving for the benefit of sentient beings. First having developed definite emergence and then actual bodhicitta. And as bodhisattvas striving to develop their bodhicitta further and as well as their wisdom realizing emptiness, eventually coming to realize emptiness directly and thereby becoming an Arya being. So with deep respect for what these practitioners have done, the dyed cloth that represents them, leads to the right, seeing this, leads to the rise of a genuine mind of deep faith. And one would imagine that in their mind, they would spontaneously praise the qualities of such beings. So that is the basis for them, in this instance, picking up the piece of cloth, dusting it off, and placing it somewhere high and respectful.
Yeah. Yeah. And the nigger challenge and love this conduce Nangore, Tangarazine, and the conduce now and I see, then I'm going to Raji said what a marvel of Tony de Lamsadi has root to come, the nigger kitchen gojigi, San Yet and kitchen gojigi, and it goes on to you in Denta, and the nigger Tavajeta, Dushinada, the Chigia, Rukja Kondon, Ajinja, Lucia, or yes, such, Sungo, what the challenge that love is. Conjugate now, Ajing Arzina.
地拿先去两门结果的也是那他好多地位也多那个不了那就他说某某大爱多的呢那就那就全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全全
cities, you should train in accordance with their practice. Lama Tsongkhapa has then intentionally included their examples to inspire us to emulate that. But what we are being particularly encouraged to emulate is not merely the physical behavior. In the same way that Geshe Dongpa and Neil Jorpa Tumpo weren't doing this because they were told to do it. They're doing it as an expression of the genuine respect and faith that arose in their mind when thinking of the qualities of the Sangha Jewel. This is what we are being encouraged to emulate. So for around here, one's probably not going to very often see pieces of ropes in the bush, but one may well see pieces of prayer flag. So when one sees that, this response is appropriate. There it has the words of the Dharma on it. Maybe it just be a few phrases or just a few words, but still calling to mind what the Dharma represents, that it is a method by which freedom is attained, and those who've cultivated it within have attained freedom. With that in mind, one will readily reach down, pick up the pieces of prayer flag, and then treat them appropriately. Lama Tsongkhapa concludes with, "For others will respect you as much as you respect the three jewels." The respect that's being referred to here is a respect that comes through having gone through the meditations presented, through reflecting on the qualities of the three jewels, leading to a deep and sincere respect for them arising. And this respect creates the causes to be respected, because just like in society, if we don't show others respect, we are not likely to be respected in return. So in this context then, by creating such causes, by having genuine respect for the three jewels, through those causes, others will respect us. And this, where this is, why this is required, is if others hold us in genuine respect, particularly when we ourselves have developed developed practitioners, we can then be of benefit to them. Our interactions with them, our words, will carry weight and will have an impact on them. In this way, we can have meaningful interactions with others. So keep this explanation of the purpose of there being a requirement for to be respected. Keep this in mind, because it comes up sometimes in the text and it's not always manifestly clear. The benefit of being respected by others is not so as to enhance one's pride and to finally be recognized for all one's qualities. Rather, when others hold you as a genuine practitioner, when they hold you in high regard, your words of advice, your guidance, will have an impact on them. And in this way, through them having genuine respect for you, they'll be open and receptive to what you have to say, and they'll be wanting you to guide them in how to train their mind. And this is the very purpose of our spiritual development, is to be of benefit to all beings. So this is the benefit of being respected. And how this comes about, to be more precise, is that for you yourself, developing a genuinely respectful attitude, as has been presented here tonight in quite a broad way, but certainly in towards the three jewels, one accumulates great merit. Great merit leads to a rapid advancement of our own spiritual development. Our own spiritual development is the attainment of good qualities, and those good qualities will be evident to others. Therefore, they will see us as suitable of their respect. So this is how us having genuine respect for the three jewels in particular, but more generally relating to others in the way described tonight, will lead to us accumulating merit, which aids our spiritual development and our attainment of actual good qualities, which will be evident to others. And Navatunkapa concludes with a quotation from the King of Concentration Sutras. Whatever kinds of actions you have done, those kinds of effects you will obtain. The meaning is that if one engages in wholesome actions, that creates the causes for wholesome results. And if one engages in unwholesome actions, it creates the causes for unwholesome results. If our mind is afflicted, and whether these afflictions just torment us mentally, or whether through this torment we express ourselves verbally or physically, we are creating causes for further suffering. So this would be an illustration of actions, whether mental, physical, or verbal, that would create the causes of suffering. So as we've heard tonight, if minds such as haughtiness or pride or harmful intent, attachment arise, we need to deal with them because these are the causes for suffering. And the way to deal with them is to strengthen our habituation to wholesome ways of thinking, such as ethical restraint, love, compassion, wisdom, and so forth, and ensure that we turn our mind through mindfulness and vigilance, ensuring that they remain dominant. And that when we think of others with respect, with kindness, with care. And in this way, we create the causes for happiness. Moreover, in particular, if one strives in the training of refuge here, and then builds on what we'll come to over the months to come, cultivating the further causes required to develop definite emergence, and then if one focuses also on the wisdom realizing emptiness on the basis of definite emergence, one is creating the causes that will lead to liberation from psychic existence, freedom from suffering. And if one adds to that, starting with our training here in refuge, adding to that the trainings that are yet to come and that will lead to the attainment of definite emergence, add to that then bodhicitta, as well as the wisdom realizing emptiness. This way, those are the actions that will lead to the eventual effect of Buddhahood. This quotation from the sutra is relevant for those whose mind haven't turned to the Dharma, who are still focused on the affairs of this life. So for them, focused on the affairs of this life, if they engage with others with a genuine good heart, treat others with care and kindness, they will have good relationships with others, and their mind clearly is happier, and their relationships with others will be wholesome. Whereas if someone takes out their bad moods on others, people are going to be fearful and apprehensive around them, and they will struggle to have good relationships. So likewise, just from the perspective of this one life, whatever kinds of actions you do, those are the kinds of effects you will receive. And this is the case also in our material world. As God, those who garden, you'll know, if you want a particular plant to grow, you need the right soil, the right seed, the right other conditions in terms of moisture and heat, and only then will one get the results one requires. All the causes are necessary. So too, if one is ill and one receives medical advice, we know for that medical advice to work, one has to receive it and then follow it. Only then can it work. But here, the context is not about this life. The context is about the choice of remaining bound in suffering due to our afflictions, or attaining freedom from our afflictions and thereby freedom from suffering. That is what the choice is about. These are the kinds of actions that we both need to refrain from and engage in.
Kedin
lakuburiyes. Ndi nashim, dedim idi, lama komandam ki, dene ki, reyre tembe çünkü, se maser tonine, dene liya makum bach, tesu ya kusun, gelini kusun tuyu, yence, tiki, cesu tanışın, dede ya, ni cesu iraci ya, deva cece, tesu bağ dusçine, ne yapmışsa sansıra şaşı, çayeti dusçinden göre, dinaşin azu yine ya, ne dini ki, toyu nilamsa, simli ya, gedin koncu diye, cen, gedin koncu ki, kusun tuyu, yence, cen, dele ya, deva cece, ta, ཁྱི ni yabo chihe yu tina aji jima zili ya simli ya dus jangdor chihe chihe chen shi jin ten chihe dine gang yong chi yung jishu ya ki du shin chihe yan yam le chihe wole sa chi na jisung gore wada
We summarize tonight the precepts or the training to adopt in other words what we should be training ourselves in order to make our refuge powerful within is that in relation to the Sanghaju, these great practitioners, we should certainly focus on their many good qualities, not their perceived faults. And whilst it's imperative one does this for great beings that are included in the Sanghaju, we should also do so for the ordinary Sangha, as well as, in fact, for all ordinary beings. Train our mind to perceive the good qualities in others, and not to dwell on the faults of others or to criticize others. So this is important. And furthermore, what we saw from the example presented was that when we should show respect to the signs of the ordained, so in the same way as presented. And this should be done from a position, not merely of doing it because it's in the text, but coming from as a result of our prior meditations on the remarkable qualities of the Sangha Jewel, so that when one sees the signs of the Sangha Jewel, through that respect, one would act in such a way. Now, the final point to take into our own practice is it's imperative that we strive to abandon critical minds, complaining minds, negative minds towards others. This only hurts us, and in relationship, in relations with others, it harms that. Rather, we should develop a genuine respect for everyone, because everyone has good qualities, and it's those good qualities that we have respect for. And by focusing on the good qualities in others, and thereby interacting with others with their good qualities in mind, we'll have good relations with others. We'll be harmonious with them. Then from the perspective of the spiritual practitioner, having good relations with others, being harmonious with them, means the influence we have on them will be positive. And this fulfills the purpose of our training. Then thank you. We can conclude there for this evening. Thank you.